Now, our present meditation is on the lay apostolate of the family. Here, there is one theme that the present Holy Father stresses in one conference and one document after another. It is to preserve and develop the Christian family. As I've said so often, except Christianity, there would be no family. The word familia from the Latin goes back to pre-Christian times. In the time of Christ, in the Roman Empire, there was no family. Familia was a household with a man in charge, wives, plural, concubines, all depending on the wealth of the individual. And the wars of Rome provided thousands of slaves. The family, as we Christians understand that term, came into existence how this needs to be etched in bronze. The family, as we Christians understand that term, came into existence with the coming of Christ. Among the Jews, divorce and remarriage and polygamy were part of what the Jews understood to be the Mosaic Law. Divorce, remarriage, contraception, polygamy, homosexuality, widespread, and all legalized. Contraception was part of the law of the Roman Empire. Abortion was part of the law of the Roman Empire. Infanticide was part of the law of the Roman Empire. And as a nation or a culture becomes de-Christianized, always, no exception, society loses family life. Not unremarkably, therefore, the family is such a large part of the lay apostolate. Large part, do I say? It is its integral part. There are six questions that we shall cover in the present meditation. First, what is the place of the family in human society? The Creator made the married state, and therefore the family is to be the foundation of human society. Elevated by Christ from the natural bond of marriage to the sacrament of matrimony, the family, therefore, is the basis of married persons and their families for the preservation not just of Christianity, for the preservation of a society. As a family goes, so goes the society. The place of the family is not just a locus. It is of the essence. And as we've been talking yesterday about the lay apostolate, let's be sure we know that the foundation of the lay apostolate is in the family. Either the parents exercise what a merely rhetorical term this may seem to be, either they exercise their apostolate with their family, or the family, as we're seeing, even once Catholic families, weakens, disintegrates. Two things I'd like to stress before we leave this question. The first is that the family, centuries before Christ, the family was instituted by God. The 700-page book, just a classic in Marxian literature, written by Engels, has deeply penetrated not just the Western, but I would say the whole world, claiming the family was an invention, will, of dominating men, masculine gender. Not true. God, you read in Genesis, God instituted the family. He created man, masculine, then woman, feminine, told them to be two in one flesh, it is impossible to exaggerate the importance of not, I repeat, just our faith, but the record of history tells us the family came into existence by the will of God. And it came into existence to be a reflection of the Holy Trinity. As we know, surprisingly, almost shockingly, God says, let us make man to our image and likeness. God is a social being. God is a community. And God created the human race. We must say, he could not have created man as just an individual. Being created in the image and likeness of God, what is the likeness of God? To whose image we are created. God is a society. God, what a strange term. God is a family. There is a father, there is a son, and there is a bond among the three persons of the Trinity. It is love. And the love in the Trinity is not a personification. It is, mysteriously, a divine person. But secondly, when God became man, Christ did many things, but surely among the most important things that the incarnate God did was, hear it, to restore the family to what it had been before the fall of our first parents. And that is what the sacrament of matrimony is all about. In one statement after another, to canon lawyers, to the Council for the Family, the present Holy Father pleads with the bishops, in the name of God, stop the multiplication of your, quotes, annulments. There are valid grounds. In a country like ours, where so many people enter, quotes, marriage, without, I don't see intending, without even knowing that marriage is a permanent commitment of one man to one woman and vice versa. The Catholic Church will survive only where marriage remains a lifetime commitment of one man to one woman who want to accept the children that God sends them and are faithful to one another until death. Oh, comma, oh, comma, oh, the departures from Catholic unity, no exception, every single break in Catholic unity over the centuries, every church, the Orthodox churches, over 4,000 Protestant denominations throughout the world, every single break where the Catholic Church has been the unwillingness and the refusal to accept Christ's teaching on the family. And what do these people do in every case? Having torn themselves away from the Catholic Church founded by Christ, they give the state the power which it does not have over the family. Christ's words, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God. Nowhere is that dictum of Christ more important than in the preservation of the family. You do not turn over to Caesar, in this case, marriage and the family, what belongs to God. Caesar has no rights. It what belongs to God. And Caesar had usurped many things belonging to God. And the most devastating has been the usurpation of marriage and the family by the state. Next question. How are parents the primary teachers of their children? You almost hesitate using the term lay apostolate. Nothing is more important. Everything begins here. Either you, as members of the mystical body, in the lay state, either you rear your children in the knowledge and love of God, and the God who became man out of love for us, or, to talk about the lay apostolate, is so much palaver, meaningless jargon. Answer. Christian couples are the first to pass on the faith to their children and educate them in understanding what they believe. They do this by word and example, by forming their children, hear it, by forming their children in an apostolic life, by guiding them in the choice of a vocation and encouraging them to embrace the priesthood or the religious life if they see this as the will of God. All of this is part of the teaching of the Second Vatican Council. When we say the parents are the first to pass on the faith to their children, that first is not only a primacy of time. As I never tire repeating, and of all kinds of scientific evidence to back it. You parents begin to educate your children the moment they are conceived. Educate them, and notice, in understanding what they believe. And this is a great need in a super-educated nation like our own. As I keep telling one audience after another, Americans are the most academically educated nation in human history. But educated in what? In many cases, and everything but that which is most important to know. What does my faith mean? And this is where you need to be selective, judicious in who you allow yourself to be taught by. I never thought I'd say this. You must be selective in the parishes you belong to. You must be judicious in the books you read and the programs you watch or listen to. Because the untruth, mastered by the prince of this world, and another name for whom is the liar, is deceiving people in so many things, but in none more devastating than in the Catholic faith. you must. Notice, pass on, and educate. We are all believers. As I keep saying, the only unbelievers, total unbelievers, are the permanently insane. Every sane person believes, but it all depends on whom you believe. And educate. You must provide for your children's food and clothing. But the most important food and clothing they need is the food of the truth and the clothing to protect them from error, from childhood. Do you hear me? The curial ours, the parish priest of France, who is the patron of parish priests. He was born after the French Revolution, which devastated one Christian institution after another. From childhood, they told Jean, be sure, Jean, that you listen only to good priests. So the boy asked his parents, well, what's a good priest? A good priest is one who obeys the Holy Father. I like that. When you have Skillabaxes and McBrians in theology, how we need to distinguish. I'd rather crawl under this building than have to say it, but say it I must. You must distinguish between good priests, and I've got to use the adjective, and bad ones. And the essence of a good priest is one who has the Catholic faith, proclaims it courageously and concretely, is loyal to the Vicar of Christ. The Council tells us the parents are to exercise this primary lay apostolate by their word and example. All the pious talking will not really, really train your children in the faith unless your lives are correspondingly holy. As you fathers know, children learn much sooner than what we traditionally call the age of reason. I've talked to too many young people. They're open and frank with me. Oh, how pious my mother and father are. But how preoccupied with money, with comfort in the home, with a new car, with all the facilities that, well, money can provide. Saving for my college education to make sure I go to and through college. You may be surprised. I see the future of the church in our country, many in the hands of the young, many of whom may not tell you, but they tell me they are fed up with what their young minds tell them is unimportant. How well I remember Barbara, whom I taught at the State University. A wealthy family. When young Barbara disobeyed as a child, the mother, how merciless can you be? Your father and I didn't really want you in the first place. She told me, I tried to commit suicide for the first time when I was 6 years old. I left the university after 5 years of tenure. 2 weeks after I returned to the School of Theology, I get a call from the Newman chaplain, your friend Barbara, who was found dead in a private room of the dormitory at the university, committed suicide. I have to say this. What children want and most need is your love and not things. And that love must be absolutely selfless. All the accumulation of what the world can provide will not really, as God understands it, train your child in the true faith. We are told the parents teach their children by forming them. What a statement to an apostolic life. From childhood, these children should be taught, trained, and inspired. What are we saying? To engage in the apostolate. As I've said so many times, the two main influences in the life of a child and a young person are peer pressure first and the media second. The two largest influences, strongest in shaping the lives and morals of the young, are what we call peer pressure. Very well. This is the nature of things. We are deeply affected, most deeply affected, by people of our own age level those whom we constantly associate with. I could tell stories from now until next Friday about the influence that children can have, salutary influence, apostolic influence, over their fellow, shall we call them, playmates. A child tells his or her friend, before we do this, suppose we say a prayer. Let's make the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The moral behavior of young children most deeply influences those young children with whom they associate. Forming them, therefore, in the apostolic life from childhood to bring others to Christ, guiding them in the choice of a vocation, the married vocation, hear it, the single vocation of the world, that's a vocation. Vocation to the priesthood, vocation to the religious consecrated life. In 1972, I was called to Rome. Total plan on spending 10 days there, came back with the blueprints, what has since become the Institute on Religious Life. And 150 some religious institutes, belonging now to the Council of Major Superiors of Religious Women, to 20 years to organize, to make sure there are major superiors in religious communities of women that are independent of the feminist organization called appropriately, they remove the word superior, Leadership Conference of Women Religious. Learn something about the good religious communities of both women and men to share with your children. There are religious women who still will have it, who still keep their three vows of consecrated poverty, chastity, and obedience. There are men religious, week are spent with the Mercedarians, place called Leroy, New York. I never heard of it. In the Buffalo Diocese. Adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. Meditations every day, silence, poverty, obedience. All of this is part of the lay apostolate in the family. Next question. How are children to be trained regarding marriage? Answer. By their own lives, parents are to show their children that marriage is indissoluble and holy. They should vigorously assert the right and duty of parents to give their children a Christian upbringing and defend the dignity and autonomy of the family. And once more, what verb shall I use? The state is chiseling in. The state is forcing its way into what does not belong to the state, the family life. Parents, now how well I know, can be put in jail for, as we used to say, spanking their children when they deserve it. All of this is straight, undiluted, demonic Marxism. Years ago I edited an English translation of the Russian manual for teaching atheism to children in Russia. Frightening, but true. By the age of 18 months, so the Russian law read for 70 years, the child does not belong anymore to the mother and father. He now belongs to the state. And that, my friends, is exactly what's going on in America today. How easy it is for me to use the words, quoting the Second Vatican Council. Parents should vigorously assert the right and duty which they have to give their children a Christian upbringing. Oh, how courageous you've got to be in insisting on that and defending the dignity and autonomy of the family. And watch it. This is where, back to Marx, this is where the feminist movement is destructive of the family. Part of the feminist movement is for women to tell men, so you think that the child, you, the father, conceived. So you think that child is going to be born? You've got another guest coming. I, the woman, I'm in charge. Next question. How is the family the primary cell of society? The family. I'm quoting, of course, from Second Vatican. The family is a primary cell of society by a mission from God Himself. This means that members of the family are united by their mutual affection, by their praying together, by their participation in the church's liturgy, and their practice of the family apostolate. How important to see these words are not pious cliches. the one family that I know best. My father died when I was a year old. Mother never remarried. She took in women boarders. But I can tell you, that mother, less than 5 feet tall, who's English, well, it could be understood. A heavy Slav accent. But I had no doubt whatever, of her deep love, first for Jesus Christ, and then for the child that she conceived and gave birth to. I say this no matter what impression I may be leaving on you. I never remember my mother missing Mass and Holy Communion every day. The Rosary every day. And that holy water that I mentioned yesterday. Believe me, I'm not a pious kook. Anybody would think that. I've got a violent temper. It is in the family of the children. Anya tossed first chronologically, but first logically, first psychologically, first theologically prepared to love Jesus Christ, observe the faith, and remain faithful to Mary and her divine Son until death.